Well, hello there, and welcome to Getting Work to Work, a weekly podcast for creative professionals looking to grow by learning new things, getting inspired, and breaking down the barriers that prevent them from doing the work they were born to do. I'm Chris Martin, and you're listening to episode 58, Interview with Alicia Colon. Alicia is a crafty photographer combining commercial photography and paper crafting, and in this episode, we dive deep into the importance of side projects, authenticity, and her sources of creative satisfaction. Show notes for this episode are available at gwtw.co/58. Are you looking for more tips on how to get your work to work? Sign up for the Curiosity Lab, my weekly email newsletter at thecuriositylab.net or at the bottom of each show's page. Every newsletter is hand-delivered straight to your inbox on Mondays and brings stories and inspiration designed to spark your creativity and curiosity. All right, you ready for this interview with Alicia? Let's go for it. All right, so Alicia, thank you so much for being a guest on Getting Work to Work. Why don't you start by introducing yourself and what you do?
Oh, man. Well, first off, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure. Even the pre-show talk, I've super enjoyed. So if it's a highlight of what to come, we're going to have a lot of fun. So I would say I was actually thinking about this as to how to describe myself. But I would consider myself a crafty photographer. And the reason why I would say that is that even though I do work in the commercial field and sphere, I do a lot of paper crafting. I do a lot of like still lives or scenes or whatnot, largely to convey concepts or to showcase a product or something like that. So I still do lifestyle and I still do all that stuff that we need to documentary for an agency or for like a client. But the things that I really do, that I really love, is definitely more in this crafty area.
So one of the things that really kind of blew me away the other day was you recently wrote a blog post about side projects. And you said that 99% of your growth comes from side projects. And that just really struck me as not only amazing, but there was like truth to it. Why do you think that is?
You know what? I know for like, so side projects for me have been the outlet to kind of explore. And they're normally like 100% fueled by passion and curiosity. And that largely is also from learning. So, I mean, it's like whenever I'm passionate about something, it doesn't necessarily know that I mean anything. I know I understand anything about it. So I have to like jump into it. And each of the times where it's like I would jump into something. So like my first personal project was to learn about lighting. I mean, at that point, I had no clients whatsoever. And so I needed to make I needed to make for 10 clients, you know, the audience, which was like, you know, my mom and my dad for the most part, and to create these images with the light kit saying, hey, I can do this, you know, and each one got progressively better. I understood what, you know, ambient light versus flash and strobe and how those two mix or don't mix very well. And eventually what that would happen is that I would learn something else that I was really interested in, or I would start getting in clients and I would start doing that. And then, from there I would learn something and, that would propel me in a different direction or repel me from a different direction. Cause it's like once I was, doing, weddings and I realized, okay, weddings is definitely not, you know, something I want to do at all ever again. And so I would say that a lot of it has to do with having the freedom to explore without the confines in the the confines of an outside source telling me what to do. Mm-hmm. It was that freedom. And it allowed me to grow in a way that I wanted to grow. A lot of times whenever we have a client is, you know, we want X. And so you need to have the skills to do X. But 9 times out of 10, when they see your portfolio, they're going to use that as a precedent of you can do X. You know, you might want to be able to do A, but if they don't see that in your portfolio, you're going to be repeating projects over and over and over again. And so these personal projects, regardless of what they are, because I've done variety of, you know, of some, and some are not even photography related whatsoever. It's all meant to propel a certain interest of growth and to quench some curiosity, which never does. It always just propels it into another direction.
Well, and it seems like there's an element of chance or risk in the side project pursuit that is probably irresponsible in, you know, maybe a client project. What kind of chances and risks do you take in going after those projects that make you curious?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of times where there's concepts or even, so like Super Team Deluxe is one of the things that I think about often. So Super Team Deluxe is created by Justin Mazzell and Raji King, and they make these really rad lapel pins. And it's one of those things where I've been friends with them for a while, and they knew of my photography skills of what I could do with a lifestyle thing. But I really wanted to get into the area of scenes, the thing of making paper, using like just how to like make these atmospheric like situations around a product that are both representative of the subject at hand, but also of the brand as a container, right? And I've never had a situation where I have done this before. And the thing is with me, is that I don't do personal projects without a purpose. I can't just say I'm going to create art for art's sake. Like, I have a really hard time with that. Like, I know that there's some people out there that can just doodle or they can just pick up their camera and they can do sweet photography. And I'm like, unless I'm trying to sell those photos, like, I have no impetus whatsoever or no desire to do that. Like, there has to be an end goal that is somehow quantifiable in order for me to gauge whether or not I succeed or not. And so with Justin and Raji, it was like, hey guys, how about if I try to learn sets, I try to learn lighting sets, I try to learn how to combine all these different things together on your pins. And if they don't work, they don't work, and that's fine. But if they do, then use them. You know, and this, so it was pretty much like a risk on their part, but then it was also a risk on my part. And what that has allowed me to do now is to take those skills and go to my employer, which is Focus Lab, and say, look at what I can do. You know, like, this is something that I know that was figurative, that you guys probably wouldn't want to pay, you know, like my salary to do all this stuff for you. But now that I have the skill underneath my belt, and you've seen that it has worked, that it has made waves within the design community, that I can do it for you guys and like you would like it. And it has it's definitely propelled the direction of my work with Focus Lab. Mm-hmm. I would say that before Super Team Deluxe, I was experimental. Now I would say that, you know, like experimental, like 10%, you know, I would still do a lot of documentary stuff, lifestyle stuff. Now it has totally shifted where I work generally 30 hours a week. I would say that about 2 hours, my average work week now is on documentary photography and editing. And then the rest of my 20 hours is building sets, conceptualizing things, which is a complete flip-flop, and it's all because of that one particular risk that I did with Justin and Raji, which kind of goes into some of your personal projects don't just have to be you. You know, like, I feel like sometimes we kind of think that. We kind of think like, oh, this has to be something that I do by myself. And not necessarily. I think that there's a power in numbers. You know, I might slow things down, of course, but I've seen where personal projects in a group context is amazing. I talked a lot there. I'm so sorry.
No, that was like, I'm reflecting on what you just said, and it was so good because I think what blew me away and how you described the value of your personal project was just the fact that there was not only purpose, but there was a quantifiable impact, which is something that when you do a personal project, it might not even enter your mind to think mm-hmm. about money or how it's going to financially affect you.
Yeah.
And so how did you come to that consideration? Has that always been a consideration of the pursuit of your work, you know? Or, you know, was there a time when you were like, I'm going to just do this even if I love it? I'd do it for free because I love it so much.
Yeah, no. And I mean, in all of my personal projects generally are all for free, but there is always a value that is attributed to it. And there's always a quantifiable, successful metric that I'm getting. So like my first personal project was to learn light. And that was it. I literally set out an objective and I said, I'm going to learn light. I'm going to be able to shoot my camera in manual. And that's it. Whatever I create. But those two things had to be like the goal of every single image. And then from there, I moved on to, okay, now I'm going to, and that was just one light. Okay, now it's going to be two lights and different modifiers. I'm going to understand what a softbox does compared to an umbrella, compared to a grid, when you bring gels into it. And then we're going to bring humans into this as well. You know, like, you know, it's like, I'm going to tell somebody what to do and they're going to do it in relationship to the light. And it's every single time I have done something. I remember one, I took one of my, she was my hairstylist, a beautiful girl, just inside and out. And, I'm like, this whole reason why we were going to go out and shoot was A, I was going to get free hair styling. Like, I think it was like three free trips or something like that. So A, I was going to do that. But B, I'm going to practice long exposure with flash photography, because I know in theory that if you flash while a long exposure, you can both get motion blur, but then also crystal images, you know, or you can do double exposure in one frame, just because you flash the light twice. So I'm going to experiment long exposure and off-camera flash and see what I can do. And so every single personal project I have has been that. You know, I have this objective, I'm going to learn it. And then later on, I'll end up using that in a magazine shoot, or I'll end up using, because at that point I have a sample. I'm not pitching a theoretical idea. I'm pitching a concrete concept that I've already executed well and that they can see evidence of, and they can visualize that in their particular project.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what's awesome about that is that to that client, you know, I think there might be this feeling sometimes with clients of like when they see the label personal project, they might be, do you think they're turned off from that label? But it seems like from how you're describing it is that the label doesn't matter, because the practical concept that you are showing them, the result, is what makes the conversation almost happen.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And I mean, it could also be that the clients that I work with generally are other creatives. And so at that point, when you're even saying personal project, they're like, wow, you have an initiative and you are driven and you are passionate, because there's a lot of creatives that don't have those things. And so just because of that, it seems like there's, you know, increased desire to work together. Mm-hmm. But also, I normally don't even tell people that it's personal projects. And as a photographer, though, I always have, so I'm part of Stoxy, which is an online, you know, like stock photography site. And so any of these photography, like explorations that I do, if I want to sell them, I can. So it's one of those where like, yeah, I'll do this personal project, but then I'll put it up on Stoxy. And then at that point, it looks like that I shot it for Stoxy. So, I mean, I could always kind of like, you know, fluff it, but I've never needed to, nor ever thought that I mean, literally, this is probably the first time that I've ever thought like, oh, yeah, maybe I shouldn't tell people that it's a personal project. But it just, it's never crossed my mind as a negative thing. Yeah. It's always positive.
Well, and what's interesting about it is, like, as I ask the question, I'm like, have I really had one of those moments where people are turned off with the label of it? And I don't know if there really has been. I think the only time it ever was an issue was when I was doing a phone interview for a job one time, and they're like, "You seem too busy to work for us."
Oh yeah.
And so I'm like, "Oh, that's right. I'm probably really unconventional in terms of maybe other job applicants."
Yeah. Because you're doing so much. Yeah. Yeah, but that only feeds your interest in your day job, I think.
Yeah, and that was one of the things that I had written down as another question was, you know, to students, sometimes it would seem that, you know, a day job should satisfy all of your creative urges and all of your professional growth and your personal developments. And so, you know, we've talked about the importance of the side project, but, you know, what role or function do you think the day job has for a creative?
Yeah, to get paid.
That's a super answer.
Yeah. I mean, like, honestly, that's the end of the stick, especially if you have a family. Like, you really need that security. Now, above and beyond that, you know, whether or not you're an agency or you're freelance, I think that there's going to be different things that you get out of each of those, or that you even seek out of each of those. I think some people, when they look at a day job, they look at, okay, well, if I'm at an agency, I get to collaborate and rub shoulders with other people, perhaps that I can be mentored by. And so they look at it from a holistic perspective, where freelance, sometimes people will look at it, well, I get the freedom. You know, I can go travel if I want to, or, you know, I just have way more of a flexible day, and that works really well for me. So from a day job, I don't know. Maybe it's just because I'm a family person. Like, I look at the end of the day, it needs to pay my bills.
Yeah.
My day job is not the 100% where I'm going to get all of my fulfillment and my satisfaction from. And the reason why I think that is because you are a complex person. There are so many different things to you. So many different facets of things that you find interesting, and how those unique things combine is so unique to you that there's no way, even if, no matter how robust a job is, you know, at an agency or freelance or whatever, that it's going to holistically meet all of those things in you. And it, I mean, I've been doing this, gosh, I've been in the creative industry since 2004. I started out as a graphic designer, then I went to a commercial photographer, and now I'm at this like weird like intersection where I'm illustrating, then paper crafting, and then lighting, you know, and it's like all of those things would never have intersected if I let those fruit die. Like, if I didn't water the grass, if I didn't climb all those different trees on my off time. You know, because a job wants to put you in a niche. Mm-hmm. A job wants to say that you are a branding designer. A job wants to say you are a UI designer. You are a lifestyle photographer. You know, people want to put you in a box, which is understandable because that's how they first consume who you are. And then as they get to know you, just like in an episode or, you know, a sitcom, where it's like you get to know the character little by little, and you can kind of fill that box up with more robust things. That's how people consume you at first. You are this thing. And that's when you're working at this job, like that's that thing. And those side projects are those things to be able to make that a fuller picture of you and to explore the robustness that is you. You know, and not doing that, just, I don't know, I feel like a little part of you just kind of withers inside. Mm-hmm.
You brought up a really interesting point about potential mentorship in a day job. And so for creatives who don't have that day job, and oftentimes that possibility, I mean, how do we seek mentorship in the age that we live in as creative people?
Right. So I was mentored by Justin for a good year. And that pretty much came from seeing him at a conference. Hmm. and reaching out. Because in, so I wrote a blog post about this. It's called Be First. And I think a lot of times when I've gone to conferences before, or whenever like I see people that I admire or whatever, I almost have the thought of like, they wouldn't be interested in talking to me, or like, I don't want to burden them, or like, they don't have enough time. Like, I make all of these assumptions on their behalf. And what I realized is that that's not true. That's not true. I've had people come to me and pretty much voicing those same things. And it's like, no, like I want to help. I want to get to know you. I want to see how, you know, I can plug in and push you along. And yeah, that I might not necessarily have a lot of time because of my responsibilities as a mom and parent and all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. But whatever I can do, I will help. And so going to answer your question, going to a conference, meeting the people like face to face, it's a huge investment, but it's totally worth it. And then when you're there, get out of the mindset of this person doesn't have enough time for me. Like, stop making those assumptions for those other people. Be first in initiating and reaching out, and then follow up. And then in building up that relationship, it might just happen naturally, or you might be working with somebody that's like me, that is like, it needs to be black or white. Like, will you mentor me? And it's like, okay, yes, you know, and let's figure out what that looks like. Does that mean that I'm holding you accountable, you know, once a month? Or like, does that mean I'm like just reviewing your portfolio review? Like, what does it mean? What does it look like for you? Mm-hmm. But for me, it was meeting these people face to face first and building that like personal relationship. And I'm not going to say that you can't do that online without meeting people like face to face. I just wasn't able to do it.
Yeah. It's really tricky because I think there's so much noise, you know, on social networks now where it's harder and harder to wade through rants and dissatisfaction to find the hopeful voices of people that you actually want to follow.
Right.
Yeah. I really love the whole concept of Be First that you wrote, because what it does is it pushes you outside your comfort zone, and it pushes you to avoid hiding. And mm-hmm. and so, you know, for me, when I read that post, it caught me at a time where I'm pushing myself to ask people instead of waiting to be asked. I think if I were to describe my career since I started, I've always been waiting for that validation and waiting for people to say that I was good enough or that they wanted to work with me.
Yeah.
And it got me absolutely nowhere. I mean, it got me to a land of depression. It got me to a land of, is my stuff not good enough?
Yeah.
But lately, you know, I'm using every opportunity I can to say, would you like to be a guest on my podcast? It's like, once I had a medium that I felt confident in, I asked the person I had coffee with today, you know, I'm
just, he's awesome.
And it was funny because she reached out to me on Twitter, which is what I do. And so one of the comments I had was, you know, you have to be willing to do what for others, what you are wanting them to do for you.
Yes.
And so, you know, how does this concept of Be First not only help you connect and learn what to ask for, but how does it change the depth of your side projects and the depth of even the work that you do?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it goes back to the collaboration. I mean, it's if I didn't be first with Justin and then Justin introducing me to Raji, that like that would have never happened. And if I was sitting there in my hairstylist chair, you know, and I was like, man, this is really embarrassing. Like, she's never really seen my work. She doesn't really know like if I'm like this creepy girl. And it's like, hey, will you come downtown with me and take photos? Keep your clothes on though, please. You know, I don't know. Like it definitely has helped with that. And I think what ends up happening too is that you end up creating something that you're proud of. And as creatives, if we create something that we're proud of, it just gives us that like self-esteem boost, you know, and that confidence, which then I think propels us and it makes it a catalyst to keep doing what we're doing. You know, we see that it works. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But more importantly, so from a photographer standpoint, if I'm photographing people, I want to be first in being silly. So what I want to do is I want to make a fool of myself because I know that eventually what will happen is that I will need to ask them to do something that feels awkward to them but looks good in camera. And if I was first in breaking down that barrier and being vulnerable with them and doing something dumb, it will then lend to them being comfortable as well. And so, I mean, that this whole concept really works in a variety of ways.
That's awesome. How many side projects should a creative have? Like, is there a magic number, or is it just the one that you have right now?
Yeah, right? I don't even know if should, maybe could have, they could have. You know what? Everybody is like completely different season. And I think that sometimes your side project might not necessarily, because when we're talking about creatives, we normally talk about like, you should have a creative, you know, project, side project. I have a girlfriend I was talking to the other day. She's a talented product photographer out in San Francisco, and she just had a baby, and her little Luna is 6 years old. No, 6 months old. And she's like, man, I look at you and all the things that you're doing, and I'm really jealous. Like, I feel like I'm not doing enough. I'm like, you are a new mom. You know, like, this is the first time that you've had a kid that you have to take care of 24/7. Like, don't be comparing yourself to somebody who, I mean, my youngest kid now is 5. I mean, he can dress himself now, you know, like, don't compare yourself to me. And so sometimes the side project literally needs to be taking care of higher responsibilities. And I think that is a great season. We don't need to demerit that. Mm-hmm. Because often what happens is that whenever people say, oh, you need to do a side project, it automatically says that this is more significant than the other things that you have going on. And so there have been seasons where I've had absolutely nothing besides like just trying to keep my head above water, or perhaps maybe there's something spiritual for me that I'm like working on, or, you know, whatever. Like, mm-hmm. That's the thing that I'm going to be focused on. But other than that, like, I will generally have 1 to 2 going on. If I have 2 going on, they're going to be completely different. So, because right now at this, you know, at the recording of this podcast, I have 2 going on, but I have enjoyed having 1, like just generally kind of always in the background. One of my friends or acquaintances, really, Becky, who I was talking about in the pre-show, she's doing a 100-day project of, pockets. She says she told me, she kind of confessed, and I love this. And she's like, it looks like I'm doing a lot of stuff on like my Instagram and all that stuff. So it looks like I'm doing, she's like, really, I just have a lot of projects that I've like halfway finished. Mm-hmm. And then eventually what happens is that like I'll finish one of them and then I'll post it. And then it was like, wow, look at this great thing that you just did. And she's like, well, it's been in the works for the past 6 months. So, you know, the point is, that's okay. It doesn't have to be a weekly thing, a daily thing, a monthly thing. It could just be something that you have that you're continually throwing time at it when you can. But I think it's really important for them to at least have 1. Mm-hmm. But that 1 might be raising a kid.
Absolutely. And I think oftentimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes I forget about life things, and I forget about the curiosity inducing activities that aren't, you know, sitting in front of a computer, or, you know, heaven forbid you go outside and actually, yeah, you know, find enjoyment in something that's not even remotely creative, but yet it adds so much curiosity to your life.
Yeah. Yeah. One of my bosses, Eric Regan, he is a developer, but he's also the founder of Focus Lab. He's picked up a personal project, and he calls it more of a hobby, but to each his own. He's doing woodworking. Hmm. And how cool is that? And because he works in the digital world all day. And so to be able to come home to actually make something tangible, like that is an awesome, awesome side project, I think.
Absolutely. Because what I appreciate too about a lot of your side projects and what it sounds like Eric's doing is that it's so easy just to stay digital and and to forget that there's a world of things that can actually hurt our hands and give us slivers and, you know, spray us with sparks when we're cutting metal or, you know, that's so much different and feels so much, I don't know. It just satisfies a different part of the brain, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
I appreciate that one of your side projects is about helping others grow in their faith. And I often wrestle with how much I should share about my faith for fear that it could affect my professional career. And did you have any internal hesitation to being open in this area of your life, given that we are in a creative space where sometimes having, you know, faith can be, you know, a negative thing?
Right. So, yeah, I'm really interested to figure out what platform are you talking about? Because I don't know if you know about Manual Focus.
That was the one, yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So Manual Focus, and you're not talking about the podcast, you're talking about the website.
Just the blog that I came across when I was clicking through links on your site. And then I came across just the Manual Focus site, yeah.
Wow. That's crazy. Oh, yeah. Wow. Well, so for those that don't know, Manual Focus is a website that is dedicated to Bible studies and devotionals. It has a series of blog posts of all devotionals are really important and how to manage time constraints and distractions and all this good stuff. And what's really funny that you found that is that Focus Lab gives us 2 weeks off for Christmas every year. And I literally started that Christmas of 2016, and I haven't messed with it since.
Oh.
So it's one of those things where it's like, I have 2 weeks to to do whatever I want. So like, I'm just going to start this thing. And it was actually born out of a desire to express my faith in a way that is not overly like domineering or could hurt, like really hinder or be an obstacle. And so I tried to actually detach my name to it somewhat. Like obviously I had my name a little bit to it, but I mean, you generally didn't see me tweet about it. You didn't see me on my Instagram, like point back to it. I was very much trying to keep my professional and my personal faith like separate.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt very convicted about it. And so, because one of the things that we're talking about is that, you know, earlier in the show is that we were talking about how a person is so robust. They have so many different facets of who they are. And I think spiritual is one of them. And so obviously whatever I'm doing in my job is not going to satisfy me spiritually. And the thing that I learned, and this kind of goes back into my talk at Creative South, which was very much defining who you are so you can align what you do with who you are. And I have a whole bunch of different satisfaction, if you will, exercises to try to figure out who you are, like figuring out your priorities, figuring out what you spend your time on, figuring out the things that you do that give you the most joy and satisfaction. And while I did, and I walked through all these exercises personally, what I realized is that I get way more satisfaction and joy from helping people. And not a, this is what shutter speed is, and this is what aperture is, like, and this is how you light your subject, and this is how you Photoshop, like, not, like, that stuff is important, and I see that as a platform more than anything else, but it's the, you and your husband are having a hard time communicating, let me help you. You having a hard time resenting your kids, like, you're struggling with that, let me help you. You have an emotional addiction, you know, like, whatever is going on, like you are having inappropriate feelings, you like, for another man and that's not your husband. Like, let's talk about that. Like, I care way more about that and helping people in that. And then what I've realized is that the thing that I am blessed to do, like this whole photography thing, like I feel like I have a talent there and a skill there and my brain just works with it perfectly, but it's not the end goal. It is the vehicle that God has given me to give, to have a voice, to be able to speak deeper. Because the thing is that if I didn't have that, I wouldn't be here talking to you. You know what I mean? And so it's one of those where it's like, all right, I have to step out in faith and just trust that I won't ostracize people. You know, that I won't push people away. And I mean, I've noticed that whenever I started being a little bit more upfront about like my faith and who I am, I've seen that two things have happened. Some people have dropped off completely, and other people have engaged in a deeper way that I've never, like, never imagined before.
That's awesome.
And the deeper engagement for me is worth the people who are like, ah, Felicia, you know? I haven't done anything with manual focus at all. I probably won't. It's probably going to, you know, once the domain expires, it's going to be gone. Not really interested in keeping that up whatsoever. But I am interested in infusing my professional voice with my personal voice and being, this is who I am. I take peace from Meg Lewis of Darn Good. I really love Meg. And one of the things that she said is, people are like fruit. You might not have a taste for them. That doesn't mean that they're bad fruit. It just means that you might not have a taste for them. And so, and I completely respect that. And I can hold on to that. And it's like, so my voice might not be for everybody, but I know that it is for somebody. And just like somebody's voice is for me, you know?
Well, and what I appreciate about the way that you're sharing about your faith is that it's a part of who you are, whether you say it or not. And it's funny because in, you know, being a teacher at a college, I'm not standing up there saying anything about that, you know, because, you know, you've got everyone, you know, in that spectrum from you know, here to there. But it changes how I interact with everyone because, you know, whether they're, you know, a Christian or not, you know, I'm going to treat them exactly the same way and they're going to feel that I care about them.
Exactly.
And, you know, that has to make a difference in a creative world where there's so much negativity and so much pain and so much strife that when you respond with joy and even, you know, well-timed, you know, empathy, you know, it makes all the difference.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And it's one of those things where it's like, people might not even agree with me, you know, but they know who to reach out to when they do. If something hits the fan, it's like, I will have people reach out to me who 100%, like, I don't believe what you believe whatsoever, but I know you are a person that I can talk to.
Yeah.
You know, and that just blows my mind and I'm so humbled by it, you know, and so thankful that I can just be used to help. I mean, it's like one of my favorite blog posts was, what is it? Oh, love is not a feeling. And at the very end, I mean, I'm very, you know, it's very much Jesus, you know, but I mean, it's also something that I learned through a really, really hard time in our marriage. I've been with my husband for 18 years and oh gosh, we've gone through a slew of it, a lot of it being my fault and him just extending that grace. So I've learned that love is definitely not a feeling. It's a choice, which then I think will mature into those feelings, you know, but it's definitely a choice. It's a decision. And it's like, and I've had like staunch atheists just, you know, Jesus, you know, and like, just like, hey, I just wanted to reach out and let you know that I really loved that blog post. Like, I've been thinking about it for days. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it just blows my mind.
Well, and it just speaks to the importance of whatever you believe in, whoever you are, to having an authentic voice where people can respond to it, you know, regardless of what you believe. It's so easy to just put a mask on and pretend.
Yeah. And I love that. And I absolutely love it.
So just a couple more questions. You have been great. I've thoroughly enjoyed this conversation. Aww. Just so you know, I think you've done a wonderful job. So what's one thing you believe about what you do that would surprise someone else?
Oh my goodness. What is something that I do that would surprise someone? I'm really bad at iPhone photography. Horrible, even. Probably because I use artificial light in everything that I do, and so natural light to me is a phenomenon. That and how many like fingernails that I edit on a like monthly basis is ridiculous. So yeah.
That's awesome. I've never thought about fingernail editing. That's wonderful.
Oh, that's horrible.
Final question. What are you excited about right now?
I'm really excited about these 3D paper craft scenes that I've been doing. And I'm really excited about the potential to like collaborate with other artists. So it's called Spaces, and it was sparked by a scene that I created after Creative South to kind of do a recap. And quite frankly, I spent way more time on the image than I did on the blog. And you know, such is life when you're a creative, right? I mean,
absolutely.
You write the blog, so you have something to create for. I adored it because it took what I was really good at with flat and made it 3D. So then at that point, all my lighting capabilities and knowledge was able to be used like full scale, which I've never thought before. I mean, I did a little bit for Super Team, but because it was products, it made sense. But now it's like, no, I'm just doing it because I can do it. I didn't know I could do it because I could do it. This is amazing. So I'm super excited about that. And I'm really excited that I think it might lead to like children illustration, like children book illustrations or something. And even maybe to the point where it's like, I could write one, and illustrate it. Like, I don't know, but like all the things that I write about on my blogs are things that I try, well, except for like photography stuff, are things that I try to teach my kids. Hmm. My kids are 9, 7, and 5. And I try to use stories to like make it really down to their level. And I'm like, I don't know if there's any books out there like that, you know, like love is not a feeling. It's a choice, you know, trying to teach my kids that, you know, at this young age and having a book to support that, like how amazing would that be? And so again, it's one of those things where all of these personal projects are leading down a trail that if I just did not do them, I would not be here, you know? So I'm really excited to see where that leads. I have no idea where it's going to go. No idea if it's even going to do anything, but if I had to hedge my bets, I would definitely say something's going to happen like that.
And that is awesome. All because of side projects.
Yeah.
Alicia, thank you so much for being on Getting Work to Work. I have thoroughly enjoyed this time. Thank you so much.
Me too. Thank you for letting me ramble, because I'm sure I did a lot of it.
You were awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That does it for this episode of Getting Work to Work. Thank you to Alicia for sharing her creative journey and her passion for crafting new experiences. And thank you for taking the time to listen to Getting Work to Work. It means a lot to me that you are here. Would you be willing to share this podcast with your friends and other creative professionals? Subscribe on iTunes and Android devices by clicking the subscription links found at gwtw.co. Keep in touch by sending me an email. I'm chris@chrismartinstudios.com, or you can find me on most social networks. I'm at CM Studios or at GWTW Podcast on Twitter, at Chris Martin Studios on Facebook, and at CM Studios on Instagram. What side project have you always wanted to tackle, but never thought you had the time or money? I think it's time for you to begin taking that side project seriously. Who knows how it could transform your career? Until then, may creativity and curiosity fuel your life.